Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang. Today I'm going to talk about the upcoming election and especially the Democratic Party debates that happened last week. You've probably heard them. Maybe you watched the debates on television as I did. There's been a lot of people opining, and I thought that I would just add my thoughts to it because this could be one of the most important elections of our lifetime. There are some issues going on that are very, very serious. Now, last week, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a new network that you've probably listened to called the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. And on election night, on the general election, and again on the midterm, and then at the State of the Union and different times that it's really important, they will have commentary just like the other networks. And Gene Bailey and had asked me, would I participate in this via Skype? So I did both days. In fact, in my newsletter, I'm going to include links to both of these commentaries, just in case you're interested in seeing what the others and I had to say. Now, we tried to analyze things from a Christian perspective, talk about the principles. And there are scriptural things involved. You know, we believe that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But there are people who are espousing things. In fact, almost the entire Democratic Party are espousing things that are toward socialism. And some people, like Mark Levin, are even saying it's like communism. Now, you may know that I'm working on a book. I'm not talking about it yet very much, but I am working on it. And one of the things that I have delved into and I'm researching is that some of the policies of the Democratic Party are almost like communism. They are wanting government control over everything. When they talk about the Green New Deal, that is really a Trojan horse, in my opinion, to get where the government can control everything basically in our society with the idea that they are protecting the environment. Now, we want to protect the environment. In fact, on the program the other night, I even made this point. You know, I can remember when alligators were in danger down here in Florida because of DDT. Now there are so many alligators, they have alligator hunting season at a certain time. Just because the population needs to be controlled. None of us want dirty air or dirty water. The interesting thing is that the United States is much, much better than almost anywhere else in the world. You know, even the scientists admit that they're not sure how serious this threat is, and they're not sure if these, you know, radical concepts would even work or not. And we're talking about a fundamental change in our society and culture, if they were to do things like outlaw fossil fuels and just try to have you know, some kind of renewable energy, and perhaps technology in the future will bring that into pass, where it can be a smooth transition, just like, you know, we made a smooth transition or fairly smooth transition from the industrial age. Or even into the industrial age, from using horse and buggies into trains, and then, you know, on into using automobiles and airplanes and all this kind of thing. And the technology has given the general population of really the whole world a better standard of living than ever before. But the Democrats, as you could see in those debates, are very, very radical. And you wonder, how in the world could socialism come in? Now, in some ways, our country is becoming more and more bureaucratic, more and more regulations. The government is meddling in our affairs more and more. You know, there's proposals to try to nationalize health insurance, which in my opinion would be an absolute disaster. But you know, there are countries which have capitalistic systems and their democracies, where they have nationalized medicine. I don't particularly approve of it. There's lots of reason to believe that, you know, it's a big mess. In fact, my parents, a number of years ago, lived in Canada. My father was a dean at a college up there and then later was a pastor before they moved back to the United States. And I remember, you know, them talking about the health system, and it was hard to get appointments, and, you know, they weren't too happy with it, as I recall. But you know what? That's not really a biblical issue like some of these other issues in which religious freedom would really be suppressed. I mean, it's the communistic, very socialistic, very left-wing governments that oppress Christians and don't allow the gospel to be preached. And now we're seeing that Christians are starting to be persecuted because if they don't back a certain left-wing agendas like the gay agenda. And you could see in the debates that they fell all over themselves trying to say the most outlandish things about the LGBTQ community. In fact, Julian Castro, when he was talking about abortion rights, said abortion rights should not only be for women, but should be for trans women. Now, I think he probably said it wrong. He meant women who are trying to become men who, for some reason, get pregnant, they should have an abortion. And I'm pretty sure, under the way that things exist now, they could get an abortion regardless of what they claim to be. I mean, it's just weird. But he said a trans woman, that would be a man, a biological man. It is an absolute impossibility for a biological man to get pregnant. And if he's not pregnant, he can't get abortion. But I mean, it just shows you how crazy it is. And some of the other stuff was equally crazy. And the thing is, we have to wake up. And this is my concern about Christians, is that usually we're pretty nice people, thankfully. That's, Christians should be nice. But sometimes being nice is kind of being passive as well. And that can be and is a very a dangerous thing when it comes to people trying to take away our rights. And, you know, there has been, well, communism, I guess, goes all the way back to Karl Marx, of course. It first took over in the Soviet Union right at the end of World War I. There were communists in our country in the 30s, and they were getting into the universities, and they were getting a toehold. You can study this. That was pretty much went by the wayside when World War II rolled around. And then, of course, we're all familiar with the Cold War in the 50s. By the time the 60s came, we were fighting communism in Vietnam, and that turned out to be just a terrible, terrible kind of needless war that we ended up just walking away from. And the South Vietnam, as you know, became a communist. And that's really where the anti-war movement started. I was coming of age when all that was happening. I remember the radicalism on the university campus. People really espousing socialistic kind of things. I remember even hearing a few people talk about communists. I never really saw that much myself. But, you know, there was this element that has just kind of been right below the radar screen. And then when Bernie Sanders a couple years ago ran as a socialist and just suddenly became very popular, and now all the candidates, all of them, even ones that we thought were moderates like Joe Biden, are moving as far to the left as they can. And here's the thing. An expert who I recently interviewed said this is the progression. First, it starts with liberalism. And, you know, in our country, we've had liberals versus conservatives. The liberals in the last half century, at least, have tended to be Democrats, although there's liberal Republicans. They usually call them moderates instead of liberals. But there's liberalism. This is part, in my opinion, of the ebb and flow of politics. I believe that reasonable people, even Christians, can agree to disagree on some of these things. But then it moves toward progressivism. Now, progressivism sounds nice, doesn't it? We all want to be progressive. We don't want to be regressive. We want to move forward, not backwards. But it's more and more liberal, it's more extreme, it's more government involvement. And a lot of these Democrats would call themselves progressives, proudly call themselves progressives. The next step is socialism. Bernie Sanders is proud to be a socialist, and so are some of the other Democrats. And then the final stage is communism. And some of these things are really communistic. Now, that's still not popular to use as a term in our country. But the communists in many countries have gained power through some kind of revolution using guns. In fact, someone said, probably jokingly, but there was some truth in it, that a socialist is really a communist without a gun. In more westernized countries, they know that it would be virtually impossible to defeat the military in an armed uprising, so they tried to get it through the ballot box. This is how they took over Venezuela. They had all these migrants coming from Colombia, a kind of a permanent underclass who the government kind of took care of, who they got to vote. Does this sound familiar? In fact, for my book, I interviewed a man from Venezuela who described this to me very clearly, and they got them to vote. Now, we can see the in the debates, they talked about the open borders. This is nothing new. If you watch the news at all, you're aware of this. And it's pretty clear that these migrants who really have nothing, they don't know our language, they don't know our culture, they're told that the Republicans are terrible and the Democrats will look out for them. And you can expect them, as they either become citizens and register to vote, or if they're all given a citizenship, you know, by some act of Congress or something and allowed to vote, that there are going to be millions that are added to the Democratic Party, and they'll vote these socialistic people in. And once they get in, there's no telling what they're going to do. Now, this has been under the radar screen, even with Obama. Obama pretended, in my opinion, to be much more of a moderate than he turned out to be. But things have progressed way beyond Obama. The Democratic Party is not even the party of Bill Clinton, certainly not of John Kennedy, certainly not of Harry Truman. And it's not even really the party of Barack Obama anymore. It's gone so far to the left. And I think that the debates showed this. And I believe that Christians need to be concerned. We need to get involved. We need to realize what's at stake. We need to be willing to work with others who will work with us to try to stop and slow down. Now, so far, I've not mentioned Donald Trump at all, other than to make reference to the fact that I'm working on a book. But right now, Donald Trump is the one who's slowing this down, and I believe that we have no option but to support him. There's no one on the Democratic side, no one who's a moderate. Even the moderates sound kind of crazy. And speaking of crazy, not only did Julian Castro sound crazy, but this lady, Marianne Williamson, who I had frankly never heard of, I don't follow her. She's apparently kind of a new age guru for Hollywood celebrities, according to what I've read. And, it was just goofy. It was just goofy that she would stand up there like she was running for president. Now, you know, thankfully in our country, anybody can run for president. And, that's what makes our country great. But it was just stupid, some of the stuff that was said. And the thing is that none of these people really stood out as leaders. They fell all over themselves to disagree with each other. I thought it was interesting that almost none of them, except for Joe Biden, even mentioned Barack Obama's name because they know they can't really run on his record. And very, very few actually mentioned Donald Trump, you know, considering the outpouring of hate that we really see from the left for Donald Trump. And I think it's because they can't really oppose his policies. You know, they threw out platitudes like there's income inequality and the rich are very rich. And you know, there are things that we need to be concerned about, like the poor. I mean, this is a biblical concept to be concerned about the poor. But, you know, the thing is that in life, there's income inequality. Even in places like communist China, there are billionaires and there are people, you know, that, you know, kind of factory workers that live at a very low standard of living compared to what we'd have in the United States. Now, since the communists have allowed capitalistic systems to come in, they've actually prospered. I mean, you know, it was almost worse than a third world country under Mao back in the 60s and 70s. In the 80s, they started loosening it up. The Chinese as a people are a very industrious people, and they've kind of become capitalistic with a communist government and regulation and one-party system. That's the only way they could prosper. And now in Venezuela, the most prosperous country in South America, according to what I've read, it has just been absolutely beat into the ground because of communism. And we really risk this. I don't think it would happen overnight, but if these people get in power, they are going to really, really change our lives. And one of the things we have to be concerned about is the way they're going to clamp down on religious freedom by calling everything a hate crime. We already see that it's in the culture. It's not just the government. I mean, look at these tech giants that are taking not only Christians, but just conservatives. And, you know, there's been some things in the news recently about how Project Veritas has actually caught some of the executives saying that people like Dennis Prager is actually a Nazi, which is just insane because Dennis Prager is Jewish. He's one of the most clear-thinking Americans that I know of. But it just shows you the idiocy. This things are very, very serious. And that wanted to be the point of this podcast, is that things are serious. I think the debates kind of brought that to light. You know, I didn't really comment on them. There were 20 people up there. They said a lot of the same things. A lot of it was platitudes. And, you know, you can't pin them down really on what they believe. But one of them likely will emerge, although there are some people, and I mentioned this on the program with Believer's Voice of Victory Network, that some are saying that maybe Michelle Obama would jump into the race, or maybe even Hillary Clinton. I mean, just at this point, it's so far out that really anything can happen. But we know that the tension between the Democrats, who are really leftist, who are really progressives or socialists, is not going to go away. And Donald Trump has kept his words. He's being strong for the values that we have. He's certainly not perfect. And, you know, I can understand that some people, you know, wish he would communicate better. But, you know, one of the things that people like about Donald Trump, he's real. He's himself. He doesn't change. You know, he always wears a suit and a bright tie. You know, he doesn't try to dress in overalls when he talks to farmers. He doesn't talk with a kind of a black accent when he's in an African-American setting, like Hillary Clinton did when she went to some predominantly black churches. I mean, you know, she was just trying to relate to people, but she wasn't being genuine. Donald Trump, for good or bad, he is what he is, and he's making a real change. And these are the things I tried to bring out in my first two books. The new one is going to be more about the seriousness of what's ahead. And I'll be talking more about it later, but today I just wanted to do this podcast and just to highlight what Believer's Voice of Victory did. By the way, I really, really admire them, and I said this on air too, that the fact that they're doing this, very few of the Christian networks, mostly because they're, you know, nonprofits and they're oriented toward sharing the gospel, they don't deal with these things. CBN does to some extent. They have a good network too, and there are some other sites on the internet and so forth. But, you know, this gives Christian people an alternative from watching just some of the mindless stuff that we see in the general news. Most of us who are more conservative or more traditional watch Fox News, but frankly, Fox is becoming more and more liberal almost by the day and more predictable. And so I'm glad that we're starting to get some alternatives. in the conservative space, but also in the Christian space of the media. And that's, you know, what we're trying to do at Charisma News. By the way, our numbers are way, way up. I just got some numbers today. And so we're connecting with people. Thank you for looking at charismanews.com, also Charisma Magazine. It goes by charismamag.com. We put lots and lots of content out there, and we do it to serve. We do it because we know people are interested and because it's part of our calling. So with that, I'll wrap up this edition of the Strang Report. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.